Tom, I appreciate the time today. And talk with Kurt McNair earlier on this 32nd anniversary of the passing of Coach Bryant. And you and I have talked about this off air a number of times and even on air on a couple of occasions. But from the time the word got out that Coach Bryant had passed away at DCH, it was an incredible time of mourning and sadness, obviously. But for people such as yourself, it was an extremely busy time because there was the work to be done to try to put together a proper funeral for the most beloved individuals that that our state has ever known.
No kidding. I appreciate the call. And while we're doing flashbacks, the last time I followed James Spann, we were both working radio in this market. He true. Had hair and mine was a different color. So, so that was even longer ago.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, it was an odd thing, and it got to the point where we didn't know whether to laugh or cry, because obviously myself and many others involved in that process were mourning as well, because Coach Bryant was not only my coach and the legend, and as you well know, I'm a Bama fan through and through, he was also our neighbor. My parents lived in his neighborhood, and I don't know if I ever told you this story, but I used to speak with Mary Harmon fairly regularly when I did TV sports, because I would get critiqued from Coach, but through her a couple of times directly. But I found myself as a young PR guy caught in the middle of something I had no idea that I would be a part of, and which was the planning of Coach Bryant's funeral, which was a public event. And at the time was a technological marvel with satellite feeds and helicopters and everything else that we regularly see today. But there I was in my early 20s, fresh out of doing TV sports, sitting with our family friend and his, Coach Goosetree, who was the representative from the athletic department, and Mac Proterra, who I think you know, who was the executive assistant to Joab Thomas at the time, later chancellor of the UA system and president at Mississippi State, and others, sort of figuring this out as we went along. But it involved eventually all three downtown churches. The main church was his home church of First Methodist, First United Methodist. The Presbyterian Church, First Pres, and First Baptist all had various groups of people. There were stages built literally overnight outside of sort of the intersection of First Baptist and First Methodist, I will call it, where that superstar Tom York anchored Channel 6's coverage. And I was on the phone with really almost immediately after hearing the news. I was on the phone with the CBS bureau chief in Atlanta, who was talking helicopters and everything else. It was a crazy time, and it was a just pure happenstance that it sort of fell to me to be involved in that. It was an amazing thing. And there are, I think, still at the Bryant Museum, all of the footage that was captured that day by our cameras at UA and then some of the TV stations as well still exists. And so, as you recall from your young days, people standing on the side of the roads, on top of bridges, as the motorcade made its way from Tuscaloosa to Birmingham, with signs and flowers. It was quite a spectacle.
It's still one of the regrets of my life is that I did not ask my parents to check me out so that we could go and do the same thing. Because, as you know, I grew up in Fairfield, just outside of Birmingham, and went to school that day and the day of the funeral itself, and instead of asking, and I have very little doubt that my dad would have found a way for me to do that, because it was, I won't say it was the first time I saw my dad cry, but it was one of those that still stands out in my mind. And it was because Coach Bryant had meant so much to so many people, young and old, and was such an incredible figure. But the if you can, and I'm not I know that it would take too long to tell everything, but give us a little bit of the planning and what went involved. You get the word, and you've already kind of alluded to this a little bit, but where do you even start? Because I know from things that I've read, Mrs. Bryant, Mary Harmon Bryant, did not want this to be a huge spectacle, and yet there was virtually no way to do it otherwise.
Right, and where you start, this woman as a surprise to no one that had anything to do with coach. Where you start was with ex-players.
Right.
Somewhere in the discussions that he and Mrs. Bryant had or what have you, it was very clear, I remember this well, that like everything else from how the museum was laid out, everything Coach Bryant had anything to do with, and this is very much like Coach Saban today, it was all about the players. And so there was a good bit of attention paid to where the players would be, how they would be taken care of, that sort of thing. And of course, immediately upon his passing, you have literally 5 million people that are ready to come down immediately. And how those lines are drawn and what the planning specifically was, I'm trying to remember some of those details. I know there were some events outside of Tuscaloosa as well, some player reunions, things like that. I remember, just a plug for our favorite medium, but radio has long risen to the occasion during everything from tornado disasters to big news events to anything, and been at its best. And I remember very specifically, I was not on the air anywhere at that time, but just listening to radio. And you flip the dial, and there's Joe Namath on one station live with one guy, and there's Kenny on the other station with another guy, and there's Leroy. And it was amazing because everybody converged on the area, whether they were a part of things or not in Tuscaloosa, because obviously the gravesite in Birmingham was a big deal as well, and frankly, I had nothing to do with that. I sort of got the train out of town, and that was the end of it for me. But everybody who was anybody wanted to say goodbye to somebody that had so much to do with their life and made such an impact. I remember, you'll like this, and let me go back. Yeah, your dad would have gotten you out of school. I know your dad. But I remember watching Woody Hayes walk out of the church. My goodness.
I'm looking at pictures right now. AL.com has gotten some from the Huntsville Times. And several of these I've seen, but some that I haven't. Mel Allen, Joe Namath, but Bud Wilkinson.
Yeah.
Woody Hayes, as you said. George
Royal,
Wallace, the governor. I'm assuming he was governor at that time. Pretty sure he was.
If he wasn't, he was either just out of office or just about to be reelected. I don't know.
Because he always was.
Yes, he was.
Then, but what struck me from this, Tom, is again, it's one thing to do this, and what day of the week was it? I've forgotten. It was on a Wednesday.
Have
he passed
mercy.
Away.
You can tell we really planned this. I don't remember.
Yeah, it
I
was.
Well, was
I'm looking at. Yeah, it was on a Wednesday, according to this story. That coach would have passed away, and you're able to have a funeral of that magnitude on a Friday. That's the part that even in today, in today's world, how difficult that would be to do. But 32 years ago, and it's not the Stone Age, but I do know that from a technological and logistical standpoint, to put everything together, that's why as a kid, you don't think about it being in as quick a time frame. But now that I'm an adult and I know how long events take to plan or at least have some clue of that, it's amazing that everybody was able to do what was done so incredibly well in such a short amount of time. And the people that would want to be there were indeed able to be there on site.
It was amazing. I mean, it's hard for John and Mary Smith to plan a funeral for old man Smith 2 days later. Any old body is my point. I've been in that boat, and you have too. And it was an amazing undertaking. I don't remember leaving the office much. I know that, and I know the amazing sense of sort of, wow, this was something special when it was all over. It was a thing to behold. But, you know, sometimes in situations like that, it's an advantage to not have a lot of time, because you don't have time to second guess everything. You don't have time to do committees and touching base. And then very quickly the decision was made that Coach Goosetree is the guy. And he was there, and I know you remember him. What an amazing guy! His kids are still living in Tuscaloosa, and they're good friends. But he was in charge from the family and athletic department perspective, and Coach Goosetree, being the leader that he is and was, it was the best scenario in which to pull that off, because we had us representing the president's office and the university, Coach Goosetree representing the athletic department and the family, and we were going to make that decision as quickly as we could, get it done, and move forward, and that's all we could do. I don't know where the idea came from that it had to be done by Friday, but that was a good thing for all concerned, and so it came to be. And it did go off amazingly well. You're right.
Tom Stipe, of course, our producer for many years on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. But on January 26th, 1983, 32 years ago, when Coach Paul William Bear Bryant passed away, Tom was part of publicity department, I guess, for lack of a better term, within the University of Alabama's president's office, and very instrumental in the planning and putting together of Coach Bryant's funeral on January 28th of 1983 as well. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at some of these pictures, and I see Ray Perkins coming out behind the casket and the pallbearers, and I see Peter Kim, who I had the privilege of meeting when we did the basketball tournament in Maui a few years ago, as he's back living in his native Hawaii. Joey Jones, one of the pallbearers, who now is a far from aging but veteran coach down in Mobile at the University of South Alabama. And again, so many that for those that are my age or older, or maybe a little bit younger, it's like snapshots of your past when you look at that particular day. Joe Namath, who still looks good for whatever age he happens to be, but on that particular date, Joe was he still in the league, or you just finished up, I guess, in 1982?
I think he had finished up. You know, he did a brief turn with the Chargers or the Rams. I think Rams.
The Niners, Rams. Wasn't it? Rams and well,
somewhere,
I guess it
out was, there. It didn't end the way it should have.
It didn't look right. I know that. It wasn't a Jets uniform, right. So it didn't look right.
Yeah, it was like Unitas playing somewhere else in even earlier. But I don't remember. I do remember this, and this is a little side note, because I actually ran into one of Bob's sister, Debbie, in the airport that day, Bob Baumhauer. And the reason I remember running into her, I was jockeying videotape around, sending something to New York, as I recall, which is high-tech that is. And Debbie was leaving to go to the Super Bowl, where, guess who was playing? The team with the most Alabama guys, the Miami Dolphins, as you'll recall.
That's absolutely right.
Yep.
Guys couldn't be there.
Tony, Don McNeil, and I remember talking to her about what they might do, and ultimately what they did do was a moment once. But I remember that roster had Bob Baumhauer, Tony Nathan, and Don McNeil, and maybe and Dwight Stevenson. So four Alabama guys playing a key role in the Super Bowl that next Sunday. So just a meaningless side note, but I remember that.
No, and fitting because of the timing with obviously the Super Bowl itself coming up this weekend. And again, we could sit here and name names all day, but I see Jeremiah Castile, who still very much a visible figure in Tuscaloosa and on the sidelines as one of the chaplains for Alabama football, even to this day. Another note, before I let you run, as I had several people say to me at church on Sunday, good win yesterday, talking about over Auburn. I remind them there are no such thing as bad ones over your arch rivals. You've seen a lot prettier ball games than the one we saw at Coleman Coliseum, but the end result's certainly what we were looking for.
Well, I don't want to channel Bruce Pearl, but there's nothing prettier than beating your arch rival, and that's what he said before the game. Thankfully, he didn't get to see that, and we did, but that was a big win. Bama coming off a close loss at Arkansas, and we won that one. We won Auburn the way we lost Arkansas in a last-second tip off an offensive rebound, which I love.
Yeah.
So it really points to correcting a very specific mistake and getting her done at the end. But in this league, you've got to win your home games. And whether it's Auburn or some team from Jupiter, you've got to win your home games and get as many of them as you can on the road. So we couldn't afford to lose that one or any other one. But it is particularly sweet when you see the Auburn Tigers go down to defeat. Always happy to see that.
Yeah, and look, Bruce Pearl is a tremendous coach. There's never any question about that. He wants this rivalry to matter again because that's going to mean that Auburn's at a different level than they have been and different from where they are right now. If it's intensity, I will give him credit. He certainly did a nice job of bringing that back very quickly because I guess, to have a rival, you really need a villain, and he's been more than willing to play the role in that regard and had a good plan, I guess, to match what his team's limitations were, but there was definitely an intensity that we haven't felt in that in a while.
Well, there was, and he did have a good plan. Auburn played the way they needed to play to have a chance to win that ball game because they are, by most measures, a little undermanned. But, aside from being Bama fans, you and I are both basketball fans, as we've spoken on many times. And, that's good for basketball. In Alabama, it's good for Auburn to be relevant. It's good for Alabama to be relevant. It's good for that rivalry to matter. And those of us who love college basketball, you have to look at that and say this is the right thing. The right thing is for Alabama to win, but it's also right for those games to really matter.